Welcome to Ever Beyond, 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 on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tiernasau in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, you are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. It is the, going off mic a bit, the 12th of June. Wow, June already. It's only just December. Anyway, the 12th of June, 2016. And indeed, a guest I've had in December and in springtime, and because we're doing a quarterly, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I have this guest on every few months just to, as the seasons change, which is when we tend to get a little bit vulnerable towards our immune systems and things like that because of the changes. Our bodies don't like too much change. You know, our minds can change very quickly, but our bodies don't. So I would like to, with great pleasure, welcome back my Ayurvedic expert and healer, Shailin Tetreault. How are you, Shailin, today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, JP. How are you doing?
Oh, well, you know, as I said, I was saying anything. Like, I woke up at 7:30 today, and, like, I should have been broadcasting at 7. And this is 7 p.m., so my day, my time is completely out of sync with the planet, or at least the current planetary rotation. You never know. I might be in sync with the new planetary rotation, which is perhaps something that might change soon. I don't know. Maybe they're getting me used to it. You know,
you're also, you have a similar pattern to newborn babies.
Do I?
You're like a newborn baby, JP.
That's really interesting, because I'm actually looking at the moment at how can I put it? Some events that happened when I was newborn.
Oh,
and so perhaps this is part of it, that I'm kind of getting back to that place. But it's really strange, because you have to do it for like several weeks to get into the frequency. That's it. Because, yeah. All right, so here's insight of the evening, that newborn babies have a daytime schedule of around 25 hours. Is that right?
I guess so. I mean, you were just telling me that earlier.
Yeah. So this is what they found they took people, and, you know, regular people, adults, and put them in a room with no clocks, and, you know, sleep when you're tired, you know. So they found that they would go into a 25-hour cycle instead of a 24-hour cycle. So that's very interesting. And since, as you say, I'm looking at, that's the newborn cycle, and I'm looking at these events that happened when I was newborn. So in order to get into those frequencies, I'm having to step out of, what we call global time. I don't know what time, you know, into a different time frequency cycle in order to understand and to come to terms with things that happened when we were existing in that cycle.
And only thing that I do wonder about the study is that the people who were participating weren't being exposed to any sunlight. That's what I presume anyway, that you just sort of shut away in a box. And I think there's something to be said for actually being exposed directly to the sun and how that may affect us or not. But then again, I'm sure you're being exposed to plenty of sun.
Oh, yeah. I like to get, you know, number one, I eat vitamin D to keep up with this, but I live in Northern Scotland. You don't get sun here. The only time you get
sun. No, you really don't.
is the sunrises and sunsets here are just something. They're just beautiful. They're something to live for. I was going to say to die for. I'm going to say they're something to live for.
No, they are pretty magical, actually.
Every day in Scotland, the sky is like a painting.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And because of the mist, you know, there's a lot of water vapor around, lots of precipitation. It you know, from the forests, when the rain has come and it stops, then it, you know, steam comes off the forests. You know, you can watch them steaming away. It's not that sunny, but they, you know, they're steaming away. And this is low-lying fog. And so it lays on the ground. And then, when it's in the sky a little bit, it makes the whole sky a pastel. I mean, yes. It's just amazing the lighting effects that you get here when you're on the edge of the earth. You know, you're on the edge of where the sun is shining.
Yeah, so, I remember experiencing that when I lived in Scotland. It was really breathtaking, and it really, I do photography as well as practice Ayurvedic medicine, and it really inspired me to get more into landscape photography after living there and experiencing the sunsets and occasional sunrises. But all that mist is full of vital life force energy. That's prana. When you have those water vapors in the air, that is pure prana. And so if you're able to walk out in that, you know, especially if you live in Scotland and those areas and breathe that in, I think it really helps to offset. The mist. But
true Scotch mist.
Yes, exactly.
It offsets the...
Oh, it can offset that, the more difficulty of having a lot of cloud cover during the day.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing is that I get to see, because I stay up late at night, I get to see the sunrise just about every day.
Yeah.
You know, it varies, and it really varies. This time of year, in June, July, you know, towards the summer solstice, the sun is almost always there.
Yes.
It rises about like 2 o'clock in the morning.
And yeah, it's amazing.
11.
Remember that. I loved that. I'd never experienced that before. So that was amazing to be able to go for a walk at 10 at night and the sun is setting.
Yeah. And you can read a newspaper at 11:30. In June. But, you know, if anybody wants to know what this looks like, you know, just go to my Facebook page. I'm j.p.000. My banner is, you know, it looks like some sort of mystery painting or something, you know, some classic. No, it's a photograph of a morning scene just outside my door. There's cows in the field. There's mist on the ground and the sun is shining through the mist, and it's mysterious. It's beautiful. It's scenic. It's, evocative. So anyway.
Wonderful.
Highland coos.
Yes.
As we call them. So,
yes.
Aside from all that,
when you said coos, I was like, "Oh, a cow."
Yeah, coos are cows. Hey, a coo over there. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, since we're coming into close to summer solstice, this is a great time to actually talk about, from an Ayurvedic perspective, the Pitta dosha, which is very, very closely related to the fire element and to a little bit lesser extent, the water element. And so as we step into summer, we start to, some people will start to experience that kind of heat coming out within their bodies. And so it's really important to begin to think about practices that balance that heat in the body before it accumulates too much. And then we start to, you know, experience uncomfortable heat-like symptoms. So I know in the past I talked about the different doshas, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And last time I was on, we were talking a lot about Kapha, springtime. And the Kapha dosha is a force within our bodies that is responsible for the building of our tissue, like the mass of our physical bodies. And the elements associated with Kapha were earth and water. And if you think about springtime, it's all about mud. It's all about the coldness of winter thawing and creating mud. But now we're going from spring to summer, and the heat of the sun, the longer daytime hours, metaphorically are drying up that and heating up the earth, drying up the water a little bit more, and creating more heat. So this is sort of what we're starting to encounter now in the natural world and also within ourselves. And then just to talk a little bit more about the Pitta dosha, within every human being, we reflect nature and we reflect the five elements, which going from the lightest to the most dense would be ether, air, fire, water, and then finally earth. And so now we're sort of in the middle. We're in the middle of those elements with the Pitta dosha, which is a little bit of water and a lot of fire. And everyone has all of the five elements contained within them. And some people have a lot more of, let's say, the fire element than others. And it can manifest in different ways, both physically and mentally and emotionally, and how a person projects their personality. So I guess I'm sort of akin to the Pitta dosha because that is my that is my most prominent dosha in my constitution. So I'm, you know, it's near and dear to me. And I've had to encounter both the negative and positive aspects of Pitta. And so for Pitta people, we have a tendency, if we're in a stressful situation, to just automatically lose our temper. That's sort of our automatic setting. If we're just moving from a place of reaction as opposed to observation and response. So kind of having a little bit of a temper when you're encountering a problem, you may sort of respond to that initially with anger and frustration and also maybe wanting to control a situation. Pitta people tend to be quite passionate in their thoughts and their actions, their ideals. They also tend to have not a very good tolerance for heat. So they already have a lot of fire within them. So anything that is fiery or has a lot of heat will be somewhat aggravating to them. So I'm sure some of the listeners can also relate to this. And then some of the listeners will be like, oh, no, that's definitely not me. I love the heat. I crave it. So this is how we can see how the doshas will manifest in different proportions to make up an individual, which I love. It's very poetic. It kind of speaks about the importance of individuals interacting with one another. It's like elements interacting with one another. So for me, it's been a really interesting journey, really not having much patience, you know, for myself and also towards others, more in my 20s and early 30s. And now that I'm reaching the ripe old age of 41, I'm starting to be able to garner the more positive aspects of the Pitta dosha as opposed to just being reactionary all over the place. So, I don't know about you, JP. I'm still trying to figure you out. I'm still trying to figure out if you're, you know, what your main constitution is. I wonder if you've got a lot of earth and water, like a lot of that Kapha dosha. And then on the opposite end, some Vata, some air and ether. Just because
I'm pretty watery. Yeah. I'm quite emotional. Yeah. I feel emotions a lot.
Yeah.
I'm quite airy in the mental sense, you know, being the center of attention. No, being the center of a whole matrix of networks and things like that.
Absolutely.
Doing all the radio stuff. So, there's all that kind of complicated spidery stuff. And then there's the kind of slishy emotional stuff. And, you know, I do like also, you know, grounded work like carpentry and woodwork and things like that and building things.
Sure.
So yeah. You know, it's, well, I think I like to think that I like to be in the balance of the elements. I don't want to be one or the other. I want to be in balance. I don't want to, cause being one or the other means you're not in balance with the others, are you? Doesn't it?
That's absolutely true. But yet we, all of us have sort of more of one or two elements than others. And that's sort of what makes us an individual. But there are practices that people can do to keep themselves in balance. So I would suppose if every person was a precise manifestation equally of all the elements, that we would just kind of all meld and blend into each other. And there wouldn't be any need to have separation, but right now as separate beings, we have to have a little bit of difference from one another. I think, you know, just so that we can have that interaction. So for instance, like since I have a lot of pitta, a lot of that fiery element within me, in order to stay balanced, I need to think about cooling practices, practices that are opposite of the fiery element, in order to maintain balance. Whereas you may need different practices, ones that actually might be a little more heating or motivating. So it's, you know, it's different for every person.
It's also different at different times of the day, isn't it?
Different at different times of the day, different at different times of the year. And, yes. So also, you were alluding to this thing called sattva. So there's this idea that when a person has transcended their tendencies, which often manifest as doshic imbalances of vata, pitta, kapha, you can reach a sattvic state, which is one where you're not working with your tendencies to react in a very usual manner for yourself. You're able to kind of work beyond that. Then you actually can transcend the doshas more. So, but that's a process. That's absolutely a process. And there are practices that you can do to cultivate sattva as well. But I think a good start is to cultivate practices to balance your constitution, and working with the seasons. That's a really good foundation to work towards cultivating sattva. So, and it'd be great, you know, if there's any listeners that feel like, oh, I think I am a fiery person. I can give you a couple of more, indications of that. You're welcome to chat to JP and let me know if you have any questions. But, so pitta dosha, people who have that as a predominance in their personality, on a physical level, if they have too much heat going on, they may start to see red rashes forming on their skin that actually contain a lot of heat. So if you have a rash and you touch it and it feels kind of hot to the touch, that's definitely pitta talking to you. Pitta is intimately connected with our red blood cells. If you think about the color red, that in itself is very fiery, just that color alone. So bleeding disorders often have a strong pitta imbalance to them. So a tendency for a person to maybe have like a bleeding ulcer or something like that. That's very much heat-based oftentimes. Trying to think, if you have a tendency towards losing your temper and kind of going into a rage, that's more mental, emotionally, a sign of imbalance. And also if you get very stuck on having to be in control and you feel stress if you're not in control, that can sometimes be a sign of a pitta imbalance more on the mental, emotional level. And then, you know, the more challenging aspect of pitta folks also on the mental, emotional level is that tendency for harsh judgment, certainly of themselves, but definitely of others. So there's like this softness that needs to be brought in. And I thought I would talk about a few of the qualities of fire, just to give you an idea. There are 20 qualities inherent in all things. I've talked about this in other shows. I don't know if you remember this, JP, but there are 20 qualities and they're actually in pairs. So there's 10 pairs of opposite qualities. So for, I guess a very clear example would be, hot and cold. So those are two qualities and they're paired together as opposites, hot and cold. So, in nature, in our existence, there will be an object, a thing, a person, a place that will have either a more of a cold quality or more of a hot quality to it. But specifically for the pitta dosha, since that's what we're sort of focusing on, fire, the element of fire has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 qualities to it. And those are, mobility, clarity, lightness, oiliness, liquidness, sharpness and subtlety. And we can talk a little bit about that if you're curious at all about what some of those things might be. And then we also have to remember that Pitta also has a little bit of water to it, the element water. And water is also mobile like fire, but it can also have, it has a little more heaviness than pure fire does. It's also, water is also cold and smooth and absolutely liquid, just like fire is. It's a little more gross. It's a little heavier in its makeup than fire. So Pitta in the body, it's all about transformation and metabolizing things. So a Pitta person is really great at being able to perceive things in the world and digest them very quickly and clearly. So that's maybe a little more of a positive aspect of Pittas. So JP, is there anyone out there asking any questions about Pitta, or you have anything in the chat so far?
Ah, well, what's happening in the chat? I'm pasting pictures of my skies in there, and everybody's enjoying that. Does anybody have any pictures or any messages for you yet? I think people are
It's more like an exchange between themselves.
Yeah. They're saying, yeah, they're talking about me fire, me kappa. Pitta, my close second. I love the flame. It makes me dance. The flames bring in introspection for me.
Introspection. Well, there is a practice, where you can, have a ghee lamp. That flame is actually quite soft. It's not as harsh as, say, like a flame from a wood fire or from a candle. It's a very soft kind of light, and you can do a practice where you gaze softly at that light, and that can help you build your inner light. That's a good practice. But generally speaking, yeah, fire, if you think about just like if you're sitting in front of a campfire, if you're staring at the fire itself, which is very mesmerizing, you know, it's moving all the time. It is very mobile. So that person in the chat room that's talking about dancing, makes me want to dance, that makes sense because of that mobile quality. And then fire, because it's, it's not very physical. It's very light and subtle in its makeup. It has a clarity to it, and it brings clarity to things. If you look at the movement of fire, it's flowing. So it has that liquid quality to it. There's a flow to the movement. It's not a staggered movement. Flames can actually, they have somewhat of a flow to them. But there is also a sharpness. So if you look at the ends of flames, they have those points to them. And fire is still fairly subtle. You know, it's the midpoint, if you're going through all the elements, from ether being the lightest and earth being the heaviest, fire is right in the middle. So that's really the element that has a bit of etheric quality and a bit of earth quality. It's really a great element for transforming things. So in saying that, there's a lot of practices that can be done right now for everyone in general, and then specifically for people who feel like they have some fiery imbalances or tendencies going on that they wish to work with. So at this time of year, you want to kind of look around you. I know the last time I was on, we were talking a little bit about what's around you, what herbs are growing around you, and how can you use those for your benefit. A lot of times, herbs that are growing at a particular season, as well as foods that are growing in a particular season, those are the herbs and the foods that we can really take advantage of to help keep us in balance. So, you know, when I think about some of the helpful foods in the summer to keep us cool, you know, obviously cucumber would be one of them. And then in preparation for summer, dandelions were out like crazy at the end of the springtime. And dandelions have a quality to them that is very, very balancing to heat. They have a quality in them, a taste that is the bitter taste. So the bitter taste actually is quite cooling in nature. And so when we take in dandelions, some people can manage actually, using dandelion greens, dandelion leaf in like their salads and that kind of thing. And that's a really great way to kind of start to work with cooling your body as well as making a dandelion leaf or a dandelion root tea. But the catch to that is often when we need a certain taste to help balance us, it's actually it can be challenging to take in. So in Scottish culture and in culture over here in the States, we're not very accustomed to the bitter taste. So like if even when people have coffee, that's sort of a bitter food, but many people will put milk in it or sugar in it to kind of offset that bitterness. Oh, it sounds like someone's on with us, JP.
We have a caller.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Caller, if you could turn off your radio. There we go. That's better. Hello, who's that and where are you speaking from?
Hello, I'm the same person that called about 3 hours ago.
All right, who is that? What's your name?
Neil.
Hello, Neil. Where are you from?
Bolton.
Neil from Bolton. Oh, you're the first Bolton caller we've had. Welcome to sunny Bolton. It's Lancashire, isn't it?
It is.
There you go. So, Shelleen is in the States. So how can we help you, Neil?
What I need is to inquire how to, the audio output of Wolf Spirit. I need to inquire how I can purchase this, as in the archives is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, you could bring that up in the chat room, but if you go to the Wolf Spirit Radio website, go down right to the bottom and on the right of the front page, that's the one with Dave Corso on the top of it, on the front page there is a register. If you register there, you can register for the archives, and that's the way in to get you into the archives.
Okay.
Okay, Neil?
Okay, thank you.
So you don't have a health question that you wish to inquire of Shelleen?
I don't think so. Not that I'm perfect, but I mean, no. That's all I wanted to know. Sorry.
All right, then. Thanks very much, Neil. Thanks for calling. Bye for now.
Thanks, JP. Bye.
Well, there you go. At least it gave us a little break and you can, right. Okay. So meanwhile, back in the humors and, you have different words for them, but, in the esoteric tradition, they call them humors, don't they?
It's very similar. Bile is related very much to pitta. So, and then phlegm is related very much to kapha, and wind is related very much to vata. So there's fairly direct correlations between the two, sciences.
Yeah, because, you know, it's always the truth and it's just what people call things.
Right. Different names.
Different names, but they're just there's the same systems. There's systems of threes, systems of fours, according to different, body systems and spirit systems and things like that.
Exactly.
So, meanwhile.
Well, I was just going to comment a little more about that, for me, when I first started learning about Ayurveda, you know, it's from a completely different country than where I grew up. It's based mostly in India. And I've never been to India. In this life anyway. And when I started learning about it, it spoke to my heart so much. The language, the poetry, the beauty that is just completely enmeshed in Ayurvedic medicine. I knew that was the trajectory that I needed to follow. So, you know, if anyone out there is feeling really inspired by whatever modality, philosophy, or science that has, you know, different language to it, it's equally important to follow that, because eventually it all leads to our deeper understanding of ourselves. And that's really like the big benefit of Ayurvedic medicine. It's so that we can become established in ourselves. You know, the road to health is to remember our nature as connected to the divine, and to remember that we're not separate from that. So most diseases arise when we forget. We forget our true nature as spirit, as connected to everything else. And when we start to incorporate these practices of bringing ourselves back into balance, it's really awakening our memory, our deepest memories. And we begin to feel trust in our connection to the natural world, and that we're not separate from it, even though we're kind of holed up in our houses a lot. And most of us can feel removed from the natural world quite a bit. We're actually not separated ever. And so, you know, some more practices that we can do at this time of year, pay attention to the foods that are growing right now around us. I was talking a little bit about dandelion and how most of us in your culture and in mine we're not accustomed to the bitter taste. So I have a patient right now, bless her heart. She's being so dedicated to the practice. And I have her starting on a tea. We were talking about making tea earlier before the show, JP, but this tea has a predominantly bitter taste to it. And she sent me a message after I asked her to make the tea, and she's like, oh my goodness, this is bitter. And I'm like, just hang in there and you'll reap the benefits. We almost have to give ourselves a bit of time to adjust. So when you bring in a new practice, when you start to eat a new food or you use our herbal allies to help bring you into balance, just try to give it a little bit of time, because you're adjusting to these new qualities. And our ego is going to fight that a little bit, and our tendencies, our habits, you're going to push up against that a little bit. But if you can use your calm space of trust, you know, get to that place, and also your desire to want to become more well, then you'll start to see some results. So I look forward to hearing from my patient to see if she was able to keep up with it. But I actually drink this tea that is considered quite bitter very often, and I actually enjoy the taste now. It's taken me a little bit of time, but the herbs that I'm taking right now as support, they've just really helped me out so much, and it was worth the effort. So everyone hang in there. If you're starting a new practice, whatever it is, just try to give it a little more time, and allow yourself to be uncomfortable and to kind of be curmudgeonly about it, and just work through it.
That, I mean, let's just put a pin in here. Like, healing is not fun. Healing doesn't smell nice, doesn't taste nice, doesn't look nice, doesn't feel nice. Have I missed any other sensation out? Yeah, but like you say, there are things. Going through early childhood stuff is difficult, and if you have somebody with you who is understanding of the process that you're going through, not just somebody who you two people don't know what's going on and you're holding each other's hands going through it. No, you've got somebody who knows what the process is, like yourself. You know how let me just try to think of it. The process of childbirth. You know, there are very distinct stages of like dilation and this and that, and then very distinct stages, and they're always the same. And if you know if you're experienced with it, and you can look at something and say, oh, you're in stage 5 or stage 3 or wherever you are. It's a process, and you recognize that process. And you can help people from one moment to the next if you know what's going on. So, for instance, you know, somebody's going through a difficult emotional thing, you encourage them to breathe and to process that emotion. If they're, you know, I don't know where I was going with this.
Well, we all need support.
And support is basically, not doing this thing alone, because need support.
Exactly. So I have my own team of support for myself, and then I assist others. And basically, ultimately, we're all kind of here to support each other. And that sort of, I think that actually makes life more enjoyable, even for those of us that like to be little hermits. It's like, okay, for the majority of your life, if you really want to be a hermit, go ahead. But every once in a while, you're going to have to step out and interact in a way. particularly if you want to do some healing. It's much, I don't know, there's a benefit to sort of supporting each other. And we all have our own things to offer. So another thing that I like about Ayurveda, I guess there's like so many things that's ridiculous, is that all of the senses, all of the, well, in this case, we're just going to stick to five for now. So the five main physical senses, sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of hearing, sense of sight, sense of taste. There are therapies that are used for all of those senses. So it's very complete in that way. How we take prana in through our senses. We take our life experience in through our senses. So that's just a great vehicle for healing. So for instance, for the sense of sight, color therapy is actually used quite a bit. And I would actually go as far to say color vibrates. So that could also be the sense of sound and touch as well that is included in that. And for Pitta people, there are specific colors that are more balancing. So when you think of fire, the first color I always think of is red. And so red is a very fiery color, and that has its place as well, of course. But for people who are Pitta in nature or have a Pitta imbalance, or, you know, this time of year where the sun is out in the sky for a longer period of time, greens and blues, gentler, cooler colors are really helpful. So, you know, I encourage people to either wear these colors more, greens and blues, particularly if you have more heated emotions that you're trying to work with and balance. As well as if you have, like heated type of digestive issues, burning ulcers or that kind of thing. Greens and blues are wonderful. They're cooling in nature. So that's something to consider. And you can also meditate on a color. You can just get a piece of construction paper, colored construction paper, and tape it up on your wall. And if you do have a meditation practice, just try to be open to attempting that, to sit and with a soft gaze, just look at the color. And you can even experiment, you know, try a cooling color like a blue or a green. And for, you know, 30 seconds, you just stare at it with a soft gaze and then close your eyes and let that kind of infuse into yourself. And then take something opposite. Take a fiery red color and stare at that and see if you notice a difference. And it may be subtle at first, but if you practice with it more, you may begin to perceive differences in how you feel, depending on which color you're looking at or wearing. So color therapy is great. Another therapy that can be used is aromatherapy. I know a lot of people out there use essential oils, and that can be a great vehicle if used properly. But simply working with flowers is wonderful. One of the best flowers, oh God, I'm so in love, are roses for the summertime. They're coming out right now. They're coming out in bloom. And they're good for all the doshas, but I don't know, something about cooling and calming pitta, cooling and calming fire. Roses have such a gift for doing that. And so you could simply have roses in your home. You could get a rose essential oil and use that in a diffuser. You can mix that with a carrier oil and use that as a body oil. Rose is just so calming and cooling to the mind. It also has an astringent quality. So if you're using it as a tea, it helps to get rid of excess water in the body. And now Pitta dosha does have some water to it. So if you have like these kind of like a heated, watery type of raised welt kind of rash, rose can be really helpful for that. So what did we talk about? We talked about color, and aromatherapy can be useful.
Yeah, so hang on a second. So yeah. Let's have a look at color therapy and things like that.
Yeah, sure.
Because My ears prick up whenever frequencies are mentioned.
I know. I knew it would. I knew you would. That's why I said the word frequency. I was like, all right, this is going to get JP.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So take your three humors. Your Pitta, Kapha, and
Vata.
Now, can you colorize them for me?
Yeah, sure. So I started to do that with Pitta. So yeah. Pitta is very closely related to, if you think about fiery colors, mm-hmm. such as red.
Reds and oranges.
Yeah. Yep, reds and oranges. Mm-hmm. Even a little bit of like a deeper yellow to some extent. Yep. The warmer colors. Mm-hmm. Think about warmth. Mm-hmm. Kapha is made up of, the dosha is made up of the elements earth and water. Mm-hmm. And Kapha is quite heavy in nature and stable. So you think about those earthy type colors. So browns and tans, any kind of earth color, is more Kapha in nature.
Okay.
And then finally for Vata, you think about the lighter colors. So pastel colors, and white, although white is also quite sattvic and healing as well. So like the lighter colors, the pastel colors are, more akin to Vata, or because Vata is a lot about movement and extremes. If you think about a color that has, even like two colors together, like a pastel next to, a primary color, mm-hmm. that would create a lot of movement to it. So that's very indicative of Vata.
Right. So that sounds like multiple frequencies are in. Because, you know, when I think about frequencies, you think about color, you think about, right, okay, so there we go, Pitta, that was very, you know, reds and, you know, that's pretty much, kind of, what's the word, intuitive, you'd guess that easily.
Yes.
And then cause I'm, you know, I'm of the progression, red, green, blue, you know, things go red, green, blue, that's the frequency spectrum, it goes from red to green to blue, and the middle of the frequency spectrum is green. It would be in the green zone for the Kapha. And so, but where I'm going to is the color wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to calm, now when I'm doing, audio therapy, audio frequency therapy, if somebody's got too much of, say, a B flat, then, I give them the opposite. The secondary color, the opposite color, to that. So that's in musical terms, that's an E. If we were talking about color, I can never remember the correspondence between B flat and E. I think E is E a green? E might even be green. Yeah,
well,
so I'm sorry?
If E is green, then I'm assuming the B would be red.
Yeah. Is that right? So, that in order to balance out the frequency, you give them the opposite. And
exactly.
This is the same, this is the same going on here.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you want to increase the quality, you add that quality or the color that corresponds to those qualities to the practice or to the clothing or to whatever the person's meditating.
Oh, Shalin, when I get my neck, right, I'm going to do, some more round tables. In the last, I'd recommend you listen to the last round table I did with Shari Edwards, Rebecca Jernigan, and Linda McCallum.
Yes, it was awesome. I listened to it.
Excellent. Because yep, I want you to join us for the next one, because as you understand and everybody's beginning to see, everybody's got a layer in this beautiful angel cake. Oh, cake. Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't eaten cake. I tell you, the other thing is this week I've been very sugar-free. In fact, I've hardly eaten anything. I've just been eating sort of mainly like a very basic, plain, unspicy rice kind of thing, you know, vegetable rice and stuff, just to keep myself going. But it's essentially almost been a bit of a fast. And I know that fasting is effective in certain times of the year as the changes happen. It's a little bit like saying, okay, all that stuff, let it go out and give us a pause, like a pause between breaths.
Exactly. Very important. And I know that you spoke about having, you know, rice and vegetables that can be really beneficial for some people. Absolutely. Just to really take a pause from eating a very varied diet, so that when you eat a mono diet or similar foods for a length of time, and now in Ayurveda, these foods are very specific, you know, what a patient should eat. It gives the digestive system a chance to rest so that your body can actually do other work, more cleansing work, and then finally rejuvenation. So not many people are asked to do a fast where no food is taken in, you know, with just liquids or just water and tea for a few days. That's sort of on the rarer side, to my understanding, in Ayurveda. It's more of a mono diet is used. And then the length of time, like how long a person will practice this, depends on their constitution. So a kapha person, an earth and watery person, someone who's very stable physically and also in all other aspects, can handle and they need a longer period of time. Whereas a vata person who is more etheric and airy, often, but not always, is less substantial in their physical body, unless they have some kind of imbalance. They actually require less time to do that mono diet. And then a pitta person, a fiery person, is sort of in between the two. So, you know, it's not like one practice or one way of doing things is good for all. It gets very specific depending on who you are as an individual, which is great. But there are some foundational ways of looking at things, like color therapy can be used for everyone, but it's like, which colors do you use? Which sounds similar to how you work with your sound work as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's color therapy. There is sound therapy. Mantra is used a lot. So, specific chants can be used to, create different effects in the body. And, I wish I knew more about the act. We talked about this, I think, in one of the first shows, but, the chakras of the body, the seven chakras, relate to specific mantras, specific seed or bija mantras. And I believe those mantras have a specific note that corresponds to them. And I think you even looked it up, JP, at one point. But depending on what's going on for the person, if they don't have a lot of fire or if their fire is low for some reason within themselves, their digestion is not strong, or their mental capacity to take in information and process it is not strong, then there are mantras that can help raise that. And then conversely, if you need to actually try to ground and cool that heat, there are mantras that help with that. And they're one syllable mantras, and they're very simple to do. Doing them vocally is great, but you can also listen to them or chant them inside of your mind. So almost like a silent mantra, because just thinking about the mantra will produce the frequency, your favorite word, with your thought patterns.
Okay, so I've got here the root chakra sound of C with the mantra of Lam. Is this the same?
That's correct.
Okay,
that's
and the elemental sound Lam. Thunder of quaking earth. So I've actually got a table here, the perfect table that's got all these frequencies, the picture, the symbol, the little lotus flower thing with the onion in the middle and all that stuff. So I'm going to paste that in the chat room here. And, so that will illustrate what you're talking about. I'll just post that to you here so you can see what
that's great.
So that gives them a view on
a
what
visual.
You're looking. Yeah. And also, it's actually got the exact frequencies. If anybody who recognizes the 432 scale is that the frequency of C at 256 is in the 432 scale and not the standard 440. So this is just perfectly all aligned. This is a good site. This one that I just posted.
Great. There. Oh, great.
It's got the right notes. And you also see that these notes, for instance, okay, so C is 256. Now, anybody who's done any, computing, C was 256 is one of these numbers because it's a factor of two. So, what's the word? Power of two. And the power of two is the splitting of the one. So C is the one, the note, you know, and then we got the D, which is 288. Again, 288 is a Fibonacci number. 320 for E. F is a bit funny. It's always the dreaded F, 341.3, you know. G is 384. Now that's G is a 12.
Is that corresponding with the crown chakra?
Throat chakra here.
Oh, Han. Throat. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Elemental sound, bird songs and crickets.
Yeah.
Third eye is A. Now it's got the frequency here as 426, but I would say it would be 432. They say Sham and Om. Which one would you?
Sham and Om for the crown chakra.
Third eye.
I would say Om for the third eye and yeah. Sham for the crown.
Okay. All right. Well,
or silence.
Yes. There's some site Om while others site, silence or, I don't know how to pronounce. How do you pronounce capital N, capital G? That's, the sound of somebody being tied up.
Which is the opposite of that chakra. It's all about liberation. Yeah. So for, you know, a fiery person or someone wishing to cool, the first two, the lam, which is related to the root chakra, and vam, which is related to svadhisthana or the second chakra, can really help to pacify the fire, to kind of ground it, bring it back down. Because fire has a tendency to rise. If you think about heat, it rises. And in our body, often when a person becomes overheated, their neck starts to flush, their face starts to get red. So our heat rises up into our head and face. And it's best to try to cool that as best we can. So using the first two chakra mantras lower in the body will help to ground that, bring that back down.
Okay. So, do you want me to give a sample of 256 cycles? Because I can do that.
So can you explain again what 256 cycles represents?
Okay. All right. So every note, has a frequency. So you're do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, da, 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 da. We have a standard, all musicians everywhere tuned to a standard. And that standard was actually, changed, in the 1930s by the Nazis.
Right.
But the 432 thing is how it was before in general.
Right.
People argue, but it's generally because it's based on Pythagoras. It's based on the powers of three because, 6 to the power of 3 is 216, which is, the note of A in the middle of your guitar. If you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the note of A that is in the C, the middle C octave. You know, C, D, E, F, G, A. That note there is 216. Now that's, all right, so why 216? That's half of 432. It's twice 108. You know that number, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
You see? Mm-hmm. And these are all sacred numbers that they're all connected with these things. So when you have something that you've got a frequency of 216 or 432, that's like the sacred, because it's sacred because it all fits in with perfect geometry. That's why it's so special. Now I'm trying to find that little program.
You know, and within each of the chakras, there's sacred geometry as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a fractal. We're all a fractal of sacred geometric, and we get ill when the geometry is not as sacred, when we lose some of the regularity. For instance, if our triangles are not regular, if that Sata, Kappa, Pitta.
Vata.
Vata.
Kappa and Pitta.
Vata, Kappa, Pitta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like one of these fraternities, isn't it? If one of those triangles is not strong, then it will distort that triangle, and it will therefore distort the solid figures and the harmonies and all of that stuff is about that. It's about getting those things in balance. That means getting your triangles all equilateral.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you have a non-equilateral triangle, you have a very uneven form that expresses from that. Now, I was going to try and find that, but I can't find that. So what I'm going to do is, oh, I know where it is. There it is. There it is. Fine, Jen. There we go. So, first of all, you want 256, which is this C note. Okay. So that sounds like this. Is that too loud?
It might be. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just turn that down a bit. So that's you'd sing lam for that.
Okay.
So I'll give you these frequencies as we go through this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the lam. Okay, and then for the next one is 288. That's D, and that's Vam.
Wow, that's higher than I thought.
Yeah, well, this is it's going up in a scale, and it's like the middle scale. So the keynote of E is Ram at 320. 320? Not 321, 320. Where was it? What was this, the mantra? Ram. So this is Ram. Ram. It's getting high for the guys.
That's way high. Yeah,
getting
that's way
high for the guys. But that's 320. I mean, you can take it down a bit. Num. Ram. That's Ram for the guys. 341.3. For F, and that is the yam.
Yeah, yum.
Yeah, which is the heart chakra. 341.3. Oh, yeah, the heart chakra. Okay. Cool. And this is getting higher. This is yam. Yum. Coming up to the G. Which is the ham? 384.
That's the throat chakra.
384. I was probably going to strain it now. No, I can sing up to 432. Is it? No, I don't. No, I can't. Let's see. Anyway, 384. Ham. So that's ham. Coming up to the A note, the third eye. Which we'll pitch at 432. And what's your mantra for this?
For the third eye?
Yeah.
It's either Om. I thought Kasham was for the crown, but I guess it's Om or Kasham, and then the crown is silence.
Okay, so this is the Om. It's getting high, it's getting high. And finally, the keynote of B, which is my favorite note, and my theme tune, I think, is in B, is 480. Oh, I'm never going to sing this. But of course,
and that one relates to the crown?
That's the crown center, yeah.
Which essentially is silence. Yeah. And I wonder if that's what our nervous system is resonating at.
Well, that's very interesting. I could plug this in, because in terms of color, I do all sorts of various bits of research, and one of the things that I discovered is that there's a frequency of light, which is the carrier wave, if you like, of the signals that go around our nervous system. And it's the frequency that all the fascia, You know that white, what do you call that white stuff that the
connective tissue, fascia, membranes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All of that.
Snayu.
It's like a fiber optic.
Mm-hmm.
And that your brain sends out pulses of light at a certain frequency. So it literally sings at our body.
Right.
And it sings through this fascia.
Which is crystalline in nature.
Exactly. And it's fiber optics. I mean, it's just, right. You know, fiber optics is crystalline in nature, you know.
I didn't realize that.
It's glass.
Mm.
Which is a quartz crystal. So it's, you know, it's always the same. It's just the same on different levels. So with the, so the frequency that comes through this, that lights up the whole thing. You know, like if you take a torch and you shine it onto the edge of a sheet of frosted glass or something, mm-hmm. then the whole thing will light up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then your fascia does this.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's like that's our body internet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, the frequency that runs on is...
Drum roll.
660 nanometers.
Okay.
Right.
Can you translate?
It's an orangey red.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that for some reason that's not what I would have thought.
Well, it's down in that C zone, that red zone. But I've been working on making these devices which pulse LEDs at that frequency through the body with frequencies that are necessary for their healing. So, you know, mm-hmm. you're doing audio therapy and doing it, instead of doing it with a sound, I'm doing it with light pulse mm-hmm. straight into the nervous system.
Wow.
Through lasers or LEDs or things like that.
So do you focus the LED, on a certain part of the person's body?
Yeah, you can do that. The LED treatments is getting the blood cells to get the light because they're red, you know, they'll get in there.
I mean, that's pitta. Red blood cells are very pitta. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering what's the saying, this red orange color for the connective tissue.
Yeah.
That's pitta.
Mm-hmm.
But pitta can't exist on its own. It needs movement. And so the governor of movement is vata.
Well, I'm sure it'll have all three somehow involved, won't it? So that the movement of it will be the vata, the transmission of it will be the pitta, and presumably the third one will be the reception of it?
Not the reception of it, but the actual physical makeup,
uh-huh.
the physical structure of it.
Oh, the manifestation of it.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
On a physical gross level.
Mm. Oh, hey, we're at the top of the hour. now, what I was going to play a tune. I didn't have any tunes lined up, so I'm going to have to find a tune to line up. So while we're having a break, do you want to direct people to your website so that they can see where you're at?
Oh, sure. So my website is my first name and last initial. It's CHELYNNT.com. And it's Little Lotus Ayurveda. And I will put up on my website, I actually have a Fiverr link. If anyone has a question for $5, if they have a question about their health, I can go into it with them. I'm happy to do that. And then I also do online consultations. And then my favorite, of course, is in person. I have a practice back here in the States. So yeah, thank you for that, JP.
Excellent. Excellent. And that's going to be time. Now, I like to play my tunes because I don't have to worry about copyright and everybody can go, oh, and they're all in 4-3-2 and they're all quite relaxing. And this one's called, Back to the Heart, Back Again to the Heart of Matter. It was, you might have heard something like it before. But I was going to make it for a theme tune, but then they thought of another tune. So, this is, Back to the Heart of Matter. Thank you. welcome back to Ever Beyond. Excuse me. That's, yeah, so there's back against the heart of the mountain. That's actually got a proper ending. Ding.
That's
you know,
great.
Many years ago, I was messing around with this, the program that I make, this, sequencing program called Reason. And I discovered that if you took a vibraphone, you know, that that loo, 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 you played several notes all at the same time, they sounded just like Tibetan bells.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I can basically, create my own custom Tibetan bowl, by specifically choosing the frequencies that I want to have in it using this program.
Very cool.
You can actually program it to be, you basically make it, what's the word? Yeah, it's discordant. You put discordant notes to make a bell. So. Anywho.
I like that. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I know that you're super into technology and, you know, Ayurveda is a really old, ancient, traditional science, but it's very open to new things coming in, new ideas, new healings, new ways of working. That's another reason why I like Ayurvedic medicine. And when I was in college, one of the times I was in college, when I was in art school, I was studying sculpture and photography and I took a couple of sound classes, which was wonderful. And I also took, an electronic class. So learning how to do circuitry and that kind of thing. And, that was my first, understanding of LEDs, you know, how to wire and circuit LEDs. And I was thinking to myself, why in the world, since they've been around, well, I'm sure they've been around longer than the 40s, but they've been around for so long. Why aren't we using them for lighting and that kind of thing? Because they're so much more efficient than light bulbs and that kind of thing. So, I'm intrigued that you're using them for your healing work. And I think that there's a really, a good need for that kind of thing. So I'm curious to hear how your work's going to develop over time.
Yeah, well, it's going to be something to do with, releasing trauma. It's going to be something to do with sound, or at least, frequencies, light, probably geometric form.
Mm.
You know, maybe there's a pyramid shaped device that emits a sound that records your voice. Here's the thing. It records your voice. It figures out what the frequency you need just at that moment is. And it lights up in that color and it makes that sound for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like, you can plug it directly into your noodle through the pulse light interface.
Interesting.
You know, that's the sort of shape of it. That's the first time I've ever actually put it all together. Just as I described it to you. That's probably what it's going to look like. It's going to be it's probably going to be a pyramid. Probably. Or a geometric form. You know, something like, what's that other one? The vector equilibrium. You know, Nassim Haramein's favorite thing.
Nope, I don't.
All right.
Sorry.
It's a funny, hedron. It's not an octahedron. It's not a cube because it's got alternating three-sided faces and four-sided faces.
Mm.
And so it's a mixture of those and it's about like 14 sides.
Wow.
So it's a nice little, you know, you could look at it as a kind of die, you know, like dice, you know, when you roll a game. One of those, funny Dungeons and Dragons looking ones.
That reminds me of a dodecahedron kind of thing.
Yes, it's around that sort of form, but it's not,
right.
They're not single, it's not the same shape all around. It's, as I said, squares and triangles.
Yeah.
And the energy moves in through the triangles and out through the squares.
Ah, interesting.
And it's the form of what's that called? The torus. That's the thing. Oh, hey, I gotta show you this. Right. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, you won't be seeing this because I'm just going to put it on my, onto the, where are you? I'm just putting onto the, I'm putting my camera on. That's it. No. There we go. So, here's the thing. this thing arrived in the post. Can you see this? All right. Well, so I'm showing you.
Circular.
It looks like it's metal rings.
Yeah, like slinky that's been flattened.
It's like a kind of flattened slinky. That's right. Because watch this.
Oh, interesting.
It becomes
like spirals. Oh.
A torus.
Neat. What kind of type of metal is that?
It's stainless steel. And
okay.
But it does this amazing thing. Now you can't. I'm gonna try and describe what it's doing, but it will actually kind of form itself around your hand. And then when you get it right, it will then slink down your arms. Yay! Like that.
Wow.
And probably you get people who will do this with their yoga thing and, it's a whole new thing. What are they called? A flibby thing.
No, yeah, I've never seen that. Fascinating.
It's flip something. Anyway, so, I'll show it on my YouTube thing. Maybe when I do a YouTube on Wednesday, I'll demonstrate this thing. I saw it in a YouTube video a few weeks ago and I thought this has to be received because it's just the form of the torus.
Yeah, it's
and
beautiful.
It's how one single point becomes a whole thing.
Yep.
So because this single point rotating and flying around these wires, this is one single wire, one continuous wire.
Well, that would be an excellent object to meditate upon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then you think that that's the whole galaxy and the whole universe is one point that is whizzing about.
Yes. And timelines and whatever.
Exactly.
All that good stuff.
And it just kind of takes this and it just kind of folds flat to be.
Oh, beautiful.
There you go. So I just wanted
I want one. My birthday is on June 20th.
Yeah. It's cool.
I would be having one of those.
It's very called beautiful. A Flippy Flux. FLIPYFLUX.
Wow.
Well, flippyflux.com. I'll put it into the chat room and everybody can see this. It is just an amazing thing. And it's, as yet many undiscovered properties, I would say. Cause it's a brand new thing. Anyway.
Beautiful.
But it demonstrates the torus very beautifully.
It does.
That it is a single thing, moving through space. Mm-hmm. And actually creating space by its movement. So.
Beautiful. I guess we can somehow bring that back to Pitta.
Meanwhile. Hang on.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was trying to think of some kind of segue.
No, wait. No,
I got nothing.
yeah, I got this one.
Meanwhile, at Stately Wayne Manor.
So yes, we were talking about Pitta, how to cool Pitta.
Yes. Well, we talked about herbs, particularly using flowers and particularly rose and aromatherapy and the sense of smell. And then we also talked about, color therapy for a while and we got into frequencies and the different, mantra. So using sound therapy. And then for sense of taste, using the bitter taste is really helpful for cooling down Pitta. If you can start comparing tastes of things, like different spices that you may have in your kitchen, different fruits and vegetables, you can start to discern different tastes. Is something astringent in their quality? Is something sweet? Grains are actually quite sweet. If you think about rice, if you chew rice for a while, you start to really taste that sweet taste as your saliva breaks down the carbohydrates in your mouth. There's the bitter taste, which, like I said, was great for Pitta. There's pungent. So something like black pepper is very pungent and drying. So there's different tastes that have different qualities and different effects on the body. And that's used quite a bit in Ayurveda through diet. So having teas, how you spice your foods and that kind of thing. The sweet taste is actually quite good for Pitta. It has a cooling quality to it and also a slightly heavy quality. So that helps to calm Pitta, to ground it a little more. So using certain foods is helpful. And then also, if you think about our senses, a lot of people fall into the habit of looking at the computer as they're eating or reading certain kinds of books when they're eating food, and that can actually create imbalance. So you want to be really careful about what you're taking in as you're eating, because even though you're eating food, whatever you're looking in, you're also digesting and taking in. So I had a patient who she's in her 90s. She's just an amazing woman. And she got into the habit through most of her life of listening to the news as she ate dinner. And so
What could go wrong?
Well, you know, but many people do that. Many people do that. And then of her generation, which was certainly a radio generation, you know, listening to the news is probably very common. So I just asked her to take a pause from doing that for a week and see, and then come back and tell me, you know, what she thought. And she actually noticed some improvements with her digestion and really appreciated the quiet and just to be able to enjoy her food. But many of us do things like this without even thinking about it.
Absolutely. You know, really, let's kind of, again, pause on that one, because that's a really interesting point. Appreciating the moment that you're living in, you know, is we're dragged away from it. You know, oh, I got to earn money. You've got to eat, right? So sit here and eat. Yeah, but I've got to think about earning money. No, just sit here and eat. Yeah, but I've got to think about doing things to make earn money. No, sit here and enjoy your meal. How does it taste? What's the texture of it? Is it hard to chew? Yeah, I mean, do you like it? Do you think I like this food? Oh, you do.
Exactly. It's funny. Yeah, it's important to slow down a bit.
Absolutely. And it's funny because, again, in the last week, the thing that I've kind of gained out of this, thing is this thing that said in my head, I like this. Oh, don't like that. No, I like this. Don't like that. That's it. I've not had that before. It's a very interesting, it's a sort of discernment thing, at least it's getting in tune with what I feel.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. So it's understandable why some people don't want to take a pause or to have practices surrounding preparing or eating food to be more simple. Because when you start to simplify your practices, your daily life practices, whether that be brushing your teeth or whatever it is you do to prepare for the day, if you start to simplify, then you come up against yourself more and more. And so for a time that can be quite difficult. But like I said, you reap the rewards if you can go through the muck a little bit. Because, you know, say an older woman living on her own, accustomed to listening to the news as she eats, that may fill in a feeling maybe perhaps of loneliness. But really the news itself is filled with fear. It's filled with drama and fear aggravating factors. So taking that in daily when you're trying to nourish yourself can really create some imbalances within yourself. On a digestion level and also, of course, mentally. So, she was really happy with the practice, and now she doesn't listen to the news when she eats, which is really wonderful.
You know, wouldn't it be great, Sherilyn, if we could all not watch TV when we eat? If we could all not watch YouTubes when we eat? And I'm, you know, I do that. And yeah, I'm watching Nazi MK Ultra videos while I'm having dinner.
JP, you know? That's what you're for dinner.
Exactly. So, you know, it's I know, but I'm, you know, I have to do what everybody does. I have to make the mistakes that everybody makes because otherwise I would not be able to relate.
Of course. No, we all have things. We all have practices and habits that we do. We're just trying to cultivate habits that are a little bit more balancing, you know, so no one's perfect, that's for sure. But, and then, you know, you'll start to do it less. If you can like feel the difference, then you may start to do it less, do that practice less.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's super hard.
It's super hard. And well, okay. Again, going through difficult feelings, one of the reasons that we didn't go through those feelings when we first felt them, was that we were alone.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have to go through them, it's best not to be alone, because that's one of the problems, that's the compounding problem, is we need to be able to express these things with an enlightened witness, somebody who knows what you're going through, so won't try and suggest things that won't, you know, that will hinder. We'll just allow the process to go from one stage to the rest. And, you know, like I was saying before, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
So the important thing when you're dealing with uncomfortable feelings is you have to have somebody that you can call on, because uncomfortable feelings are the reason that you stepped away from them in the first place.
Correct. Right. But yet, you know, the patient should be made aware that there is some traversing through, maybe to not to the same degree as the initial trauma, but there's some traversing through those old patterns.
Oh yeah, but they're not alone. That's the main thing. Yeah, is the feeling of not being alone.
Well, you know, sometimes they are, because you talk to your patients. Okay, try this practice. They, in that moment, they have to experience it themselves. You see what I'm saying? Like your support, the practitioner's a support, and they're kind of around the experience. But I guess that's the challenge for a lot of people with some of these types of healing, is that it's really up to you as the individual to make the choice to heal. And there will be moments of like where you face your dark night of the soul kind of thing. You know, where you're alone and you have to try this practice, and it's bringing things up for you. And yes, there's someone there that will give you support and answer some questions for you, but you still have to do it yourself.
Well, you know, this is all about, it's all about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, we're ill because, I mean, from my perspective, if somebody is ill, then that is their body trying to talk to their mind.
Yes, it's, and their spirit, yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a disagreement between what the mind has been trying to tell the body and what the body is telling the mind. The mind's not listening to the body. They're saying, oh, I can't do that. That'd be stupid. Or, you know, this makes me feel sick. Can you stop ignoring this feeling of sickness? You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's where the uncomfortable feelings come back, because we've been denying these feelings. We've put them outside of ourselves.
Right. Or tried to, yes.
Yeah. Well,
that's why,
it always keeps coming back. We keep feeling them. You know, we're feeling them all the time. That's the problem. We don't want to feel them. And yet we and others feel these energies all the time, which is terrible if you're an empath. You know, you must, I mean, when you do see, all right, I don't want to digress again, because I know I'm terrible at digressing, and I always digress here, which is great. I love it, because you're so focused.
Oh, really? Oh, that's Pitta, my friend.
Yeah, that's your Pitta.
People
are
extremely focused. Extremely.
So,
laser.
So again, we're going through experiences which are really spiritual experiences that are the beginning of a conversation. They're like your body, your spirit is trying to start a conversation with you.
Right.
And
it's trying to help you remember.
Yeah, because normally it's the, I mean, have you found that it's normally about an old injury that people that is at the root of people's, you know, chronic illness, for instance,
that just keeps manifesting again and again? That happens often. It's called there's a cave gunya, which is a defective space within the body, and so there's a weakness that forms in the body due to, yes, let's say an injury, or it could also be to like a genetic predisposition, something in your lineage that comes through to you. And so that defective space is created in your body, and there's a tendency for repetition to happen there, for sure. And it's not like it's a definite But yes, we all have tendencies. Like people say, oh, it's my trick knee again acting up, or, you know, oh, I can't eat that oily food because my gallbladder is going to act up. And, you know, there's specific patterns in each of our bodies. Yes, that occurs again and again over time. So it's good to pay attention to it.
Indeed, indeed. Because, once you're in tune with it, you don't get ill anymore, right? Do you?
I think that's a good point. That's true.
You know, again, what did I say? Once you're in tune with it, in tune along the same frequencies, just tuning up the frequencies. And right. Again, tuning the frequencies is the same as getting the triangles balanced. You know,
and there's different ways of doing that. So, you know, we can return our memories, or we can begin to remember our true nature as connected to everything else by connecting to the natural world, by doing certain sound therapies. You know, our vehicle is our senses. The vehicle to remembering is the use of our senses in a therapeutic way, in a balancing way. So, and that all creates that remembrance, and remembering is a frequency. So any way we can kind of jog our memories, you know, I'm not talking about memories of like when we were a child. I'm talking, obviously, I'm sure you know this, way deeper than that, you know, back to our first spark of existence, or even before that.
Well, there's a vast amount of fragmentation in our histories.
Right.
And, from what I can see, the process is to defrag, you know, like on your computer.
At this point, it is. I mean, we sort of fragmented so that we could experience ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, if you get
now we know we don't want to live with them. Hey, that self, damn it, bit of an asshole. Oh, Jesus. How can you live with that thing?
If you think about Sankhya philosophy, which is Ayurveda is based heavily on Sankhya philosophy, it's existence wanting to experience itself. And you do that by fragmenting. You do that by forming the five elements and then coalescing into, denser and denser substances. So maybe we're at the point of really starting to remember where we came from.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, when they're beaming down on Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
that point where the molecules are coalescing back into who they are again.
Mm-hmm.
If we could imagine that, our galaxy is one of the atoms of a great being, then right. that might get us into a sense of proportion about things.
Exactly. Yeah. And even that is probably, I don't know, just a small comparison.
Yeah, because that being is living on a planet, in a galaxy.
Right.
Somewhere.
It's like you can't even imagine, size doesn't even make any sense. You know, mm-hmm. there's no comprehension. It's beyond comprehension for the most part.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes I like to think about this sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think we all are certainly capable of that, of moksha, of liberation from ourselves as these confined structures. You know, but it is an interesting way to experience existence, is to kind of be fragmented for a time and then find our way back. So, and to help each other along the way.
Well, yeah. And so we have our ways of defragmenting to bring into order, to bring back to frequency, to reattune. All of them mean more or less the same thing, which is that we're here to in our relations with others, we balance those elements as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn how to balance it. I mean, there's a difference between learning from someone and being codependent, but there are transference things that happen as well. So it's a very subtle thing how we heal in relationship.
Absolutely. So for me, being a Pitta person, my tendencies are often, or hopefully less so at this point, because I've tried to work on it, but my tendencies are to be, quite judgmental of others and myself as well. But over time, once I've learned about the tendencies of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, I could start to see it in myself and in others. Like if, say, often Vata people, who are mostly air and ether in their makeup, they're hard to pin down. They can go from one subject to another, where Pitta people like to be very streamlined and focused. And sometimes
you said that with such a pride, you know, that we like to be, we like to be streamlined, clean and focused.
No, listen. So a Vata person, because they're so etheric and airy, can fan a fire. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. You just think about air moving around a fire. That's just
Make great fans. Literally, so they keep the oxygen circulating.
Sure, but they also can increase fire because of that air. So sort of like aggravating fire.
You don't turn the fan up too high, do you? You've got a fan control.
But if a Pitta person can bring their awareness and just simply observe, oh, that person has a lot of Vata, instead of, oh, that person is really annoying me right now. It can help. It can help so much. It can bring less judgment and just more understanding. And then you can begin to see the positive qualities of that person. So this is, of course, I'm speaking generally, but a lot of Vata people tend to be very inspirational. They have a lot of wonderful creative ideas. They are really adaptable and can help others with the idea of change. So there's so many positive aspects that can be paid attention to and focused on.
They're your air signs. They're your Aquarians, the thought leaders. You know, they're the Librans, the balancers, the judges. They're the Geminis, the kind of busy people. You know,
going around.
Very third ray kind of energy.
They definitely can instigate a lot. They may not actually perpetuate or follow through with instigating change or new ideas, but they can initiate.
Oh no, you need your earth signs for that. You need your Virgo, Capricorn and Taurus cycle for that.
I would say even the fire, even the Pitta to transform, you know, to kind of really add that fuel, add that kind of, that focus to keep perpetuating the idea and the change.
Hang on, what am I talking about? I've got it around the wrong way.
I don't think you have.
No, well, you've got the air signs, but there's also cardinal, fixed, and mutable. Those are the three qualities. Not because the air signs are a part of a four quality, but the cardinal, fixed, and mutable, that's like the start, middle, and beginning. So the sustainer will be the fixed.
Yeah. So the start would be Vata, the fixed is the middle. Mm-hmm. That would be Pitta, and what was the last one?
Mutable.
Oh, mutable.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is mutable. Imagine the tail being drawn along of a fish.
I see. Okay. Well, fixed would be Kapha, and mutable would be more Pitta.
Yeah. It's like the head, middle, and the tail of a fish. You know. So those are the process. It's all the process, and it's all nature. You know. So.
And that's also there's like a trinity of deities. There's Brahma.
Shiva,
who's
Brahma,
the creator.
Yep. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva.
Vishnu, who's the preserver.
Okay, so then this brings us to the rays.
Krishna, who's the destroyer. I mean, excuse me, Shiva, who's the destroyer.
Yeah, so Shiva is ray one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's the ray of will, ruling the crown center.
Okay, it's different.
So that would be the instigator. The destroyer is also the instigator. You know, because if you destroy a building, it's because you're going to build another one. You don't just destroy buildings.
Sure.
You always rebuild. Mm-hmm. So that's
so that brings that back to Brahma,
yeah.
The creator. Mm-hmm.
And then your ray two is the love ray. So that's the nurturing, the healing, the sustaining. That would be your fix probably. And then your third ray is active intelligence, which will be definitely immutable, which will be the air sign type thing. I don't know if that's been any use at all. I like to kind of bring all these things together to get all the correspondences.
I think there are some correlations and some differences, but it's really, it's kind of
finding out which level things fit in.
Right.
You know?
Right, absolutely.
Because there's the three and the four.
Well, right. Well, so for Brahma, Brahma is associated a lot with Kapha, because Kapha is all about the childhood time of life, really about growing physical structure. You think about kids, they grow so darn fast. You know, their physicality is just growing and growing and manifesting. And then Vishnu is a preserver, and that's associated with the Pitta time of life, which is sort of our working years when we're kind of living out our Dharma. And then Shiva is related to the Vata time of life, which is the end years, the time when our body becomes less physical and more etheric. And often when people tend to start to at least start to think more spiritually based, they may start to think about, you know, the ending of their lives, the end of this physical manifestation. So the doshas are related to those three deities.
Again, yes. It's the same, you know, the head, the body, and the tail of a fish, you know, the head, thorax, and abdomen of the insect, you know, everything is divided into three stages. Birth, life, and death, you know, all of these things.
It's all fascinating. Totally fascinating. Do we have any pittas in the chat?
Any pittas?
Anyone coming up with any kind of chronic health, like skin rashes, or even there's certain types of headaches which are more fiery based. Like there's a lot of migraines. You know, the one-sided throbbing kind of headache can often be associated with pitta, with heat. Too much heat.
When was it? 2 weekends ago, I think. Saturn was very, very close. And I almost felt like I was like underneath a great big dome. You know, it was like not under, on like a great big rubber dome was pressing down on me.
Well, that's Saturn, isn't it?
Yeah, I really did feel like that.
Big, huge, heavy planet, yeah.
Yeah, it was a funny feeling. It was an unusual pressure.
That's interesting. You could sense that, but you're quite sensitive to those things.
Sensitive. I think I had concussion when I think basically, if you've had a head injury, you've got people who have rheumatism feel it first when the air pressure changes.
Right.
You know, oh, I feel it in my bones, they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because that's essentially that they, you know, they're kind of more of a hair trigger of pain. Some people feel back pain when an earthquake is about to happen.
Right.
Sean Morton, he gets terrible back pains, and then there's an earthquake and the pain goes away.
That's interesting.
So I think we all react to the earth and we don't notice, and we think, oh, it's because of this and because of that that I got a cold.
Right, which is sort of like why I'm an advocate for going out, really for people to make an effort to go out and go for walks outside, you know, more often to get more in tune with what's happening in the bigger picture. I actually go out in the trails a lot. I'm fortunate I have these kind of hiking trails right behind my house, and I do a lot of trail running. It's very much in my chart, in my Vedic chart. I'm definitely like one of those athletic kind of types, you know, fiery athletic type. So I have to be very physical outside or I go a little nutso. So, but I was outside today in the trails, and when you have a regular practice of being outside, you can start to observe all of the subtle changes that are happening, and it can make you so much more attuned to what's happening on a bigger picture and less mired in your own personal drama. It's really great to take a step back and to go into whatever feels like a more natural place for yourself. You know, and that could just be a park or something like that, but just to get outside and interact with the elements a little bit more. And, in the summertime for Pitta people who have a really hard time tolerating midday sun or a lot of heat, you just adjust your schedule so that you're out in the early morning when it's naturally cooler and calmer. Evening's okay too, but early morning is definitely the most advantageous time to be out if you're a Pitta person. So if you do any kind of exercise, definitely try to do that in the morning, definitely before 10 a.m. But even earlier is better. It's just very calm. It's much calmer. So exercise can be very aggravating to both Vata and Pitta. So if you do have a regular exercise routine, you want to do that early in the morning to take advantage of that coolness, and that will help to balance the aggravating properties of exercise. So when I was out in Scotland, JP, I was really, because I'm such an avid runner, it was really humbling to be out there because of the darn hills you have.
Oh, you don't have hills like this over there, do you?
Well,
yeah, I mean, bloody hell. Yeah, that's why I don't go out, I tell you, because it's all hills, you know, everywhere is up.
It can be difficult.
Especially for a non-pitter, you know, I'm more of a kebab, yeah. You know, than the
just
pitter.
Walk slowly. That's totally good.
Yeah. I've also got this thing about, I've got a thing in my foot, like a thorn that is embedded right deeply. So I can't really walk very well.
To get you a pair of rollerblades.
Well, I got myself an electric bicycle.
Oh, that's neat.
You can't use it that much around here because
the hills will kill it, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's, you can't go far, but it's good because it helps you get up those hills. And it's like having it, to me, it's like having good knees.
Having
an electric bike because you can really put some, you can really get some pressure in there.
That's great.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
So
I mean, even if you can't actually physically move very far, just being outside is great. You know, wave your arms around and, you know, feed the chickens or whatever it is that you have to do, you know.
Well, actually, I every few days I have to master the rooster because he's very feisty. And if I don't, he attacks me. So I have to play dominant. Mm. And every few days, well, it's about every couple of weeks, I think, he starts attacking me. Yeah.
He forgets that you're the head rooster.
That's right. And I have to remind him. So there's this comedy routine where he starts this thing and
what do you do?
I'm carrying this big bag and it's usually if I've got a bag that's got yellow in it. He attacks things that have got red and yellow because it's like, there's another cockerel. Yeah. There's some pitter stuff. Yeah. So I have, I'm usually carrying an enormous like 50 pounds of wood. In a bag, which is the yellow one, you know. So I'm pulling the bag down and he's like, jumping. So I have to run, I then turn, right? Right here. Make this noise. Oh, I'm going to get you. And then he's running away, you know, and he's like, hey, you think you're a chicken. Oh, he is a chicken. All right. He's just like a chicken. Oh, he is a chicken. That's right. Okay. He runs away like a chicken and, I chase him all around. He runs into my vegetable patch because he knows I won't run into it. Cause it's like got my vegetables in it. So he hides in there and I was like, stake him.
Smart rooster.
Yeah. Anyway, so eventually I have to kind of roll him over, grab him by his feet and hold him up. Now what happens is when you hold a chicken up by its feet, they relax.
Yeah.
And, then you stroke their belly and he completely relaxes to a stiff board. And I think it's the reptile in them. Because this is what you can do with a snake. You know,
if to calm a pitta, you just rub their belly.
Yeah. Yeah. And this
I'm going to add that to my list of practice.
Just rub the belly. And, you know, this thing about,
sit down and
Moses, you know, Moses had this staff that turned into a snake.
Yes.
Well, it was an old trick and the staff was a snake.
Yeah.
That he'd hypnotized in this way. And they go stiff as a board. And stay like that until you touch a point.
Wow.
Did you see The Golden Child?
With Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have.
At the beginning, they offer the Buddha, a little parrot on a, they give him his mala, right? Mm-hmm. And the trick is that the mala's not the one on the tray. It's the one that's around the neck of the monk behind him. So he has to go beyond the, you know, what he's offered. He sees what is it, what is his. Mm-hmm. And then, the next thing they do, they put a parrot that looked like a dead parrot. And he touches it in a place and it's a point on the chest somewhere. And that reanimates them, and they're just like, bam, and they're back up to being normal birds again.
Well, that reminds me of Marma Chikitsa. So that's a therapy in Ayurveda, a touch therapy, where there are specific points in the body that have beneficial effects, and then conversely, certain points will have detrimental effects. And I believe Marma just means, it means point, it means doorway. And there are 108 major points in the body that are used.
108 are there.
Exactly. And I think initially it was used in the martial arts, you know, to harm and disable your opponent. And then it was used to heal. You know, working with those points on the body.
Mm-hmm. They were probably known about in the very, very, very ancient times.
Oh, yes.
Like Atlantean and Lemurian times. And what we have now is the Vedas, which is where you're getting this information.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the oldest books that we got, but even then it doesn't quite go back to the ancient stuff, which is where they knew all this stuff anyway. And this is where they understood it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any insight into, some of the deities in the Hindu religion that have blue skin?
Oh, yes, the Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are from the planet Vega.
Okay.
What's his name? Vishnu. Yeah, the cool blue dudes. There are blue people in the inside of the earth as well.
Interesting.
Because,
What
we have to understand is that we're on the outside of a large spaceship. We're on the hull. We're clinging to the hull. And, that there are loads of other people inside who don't look like us. And we get frightened, so, you know, they don't come out.
Well, I just wonder how our histories are written, you know, how these beings are written into our histories and named deities or gods when they're just other beings.
Yeah, well, it's what we call, you know, these days E.T.
Yeah. Like, why would a certain religion come up with a being with blue skin? That's pretty specific.
Unless he had blue skin.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
And there's also these other things. If you look at these Egyptian Anunnakis, they all had blue eyes. Egyptians don't have blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
In fact, blue eyes, he says, only came here about 10,000 years ago. Right? All the rest of the time, all the humans have brown eyes and green eyes. But blue eyes only arrived recently.
That's interesting.
That's not an accidental gene that comes out of Africa. Straight hair, blue eyes, blonde hair. You know, that's not normal. It's not human.
Interesting, yeah.
And I speak as a blonde hair, I got brown hair and blue eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Khazarians. You know, this is the problem. It's been the problem. Integrating with the natives and... This is still the same problem in the world, you know, integrating the natives without taking advantage,
mm-hmm.
without, you know, turning them into slaves.
Right.
We have got a long way to go, but we haven't got a lot of time to do it.
Right.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Shelin, we're coming to the end. Of our two hour time slot, and it again has whizzed by.
Yeah,
you know, it's like one moment I looked up and it was 4, and then I look up and it's 10 to 5. So, thank you so much for coming on the show with me again.
I would definitely love to participate in the round table. Can't do the one in July because I'll be on a plane.
Well, we'll bring you in. Maybe it might be the mixed one. Who knows? We'll see what happens. I'm just letting these little pots brew and see.
Yeah, I would love it. I mean, you know, these are definitely like people I admire and are more experienced than myself, but I'd love to hang on for the ride.
Well, no, you've got your own expertise, you see. This is the thing. Everybody's got their own universe.
Yeah, it would be
fascinating
to kind of, exchange. That would be really wonderful.
Once again, Shelin, your websites, your books, your...
Book is sort of like in the very beginnings, but I do teach online classes. All that's on my website, And
which is? Keep repeating your website name.
It's my first name and last initial. So okay. It's CHELYNNT.com. And it's Little Lotus Ayurveda. And that's it.
That's it. What about YouTube? Do you have a YouTube channel?
I don't have a YouTube channel. Oh gosh, that was totally on my list of things.
Please get a YouTube channel. Okay. You'd be brilliant. You know, you just like 10-minute little,
Yeah, I have a demo on there for a therapy that I do, but yes, I should do that. Yeah. Thank you for the reminder.
Please, please. I'd be very happy to promote that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Excellent. So, I need a little break before the next show because, sort some things out in the house. Do you have any final messages? Well, we're going to be doing another show in August, you and I with in the same frame, the August autumn changes.
Oh, great.
The fall, yes. You call it. Great. It's the funny. It's like the fall. The end of the empire, No. Autumn. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah.
I know we have to, we sort of simplify words sometimes over here in the States, but, all my Pitta people, just stay cool and try to witness your own tendencies towards having a temper. Just take a minute, take a breath.
Take that cool. Breath. Take that breath. Just allow the, hang on, where's that? This one. Just take a breath and do this. Just back into who you are.
Perfect.
Perfect. So once again, thank you so much. It's been Ever Beyond. It's been Shailin Tetreault. And we are coming up to the World Healers at the top of the hour. Thank you very much, Shailin. And
thank you.
I'll see you next time around. See you in the fall.
Wonderful.
Oh, the fall of mankind.